worse every day. Every day. And I know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So I know that the answer is in the Word of God. It's not on ABC, NBC, CNN, or even Fox. The answer is in the Word of God. And so we as believers, once a week, we meet to hear what God has to say about the subject. And today I want to preach to you on something as up to date as this morning's newspaper. In Romans chapter 1, I want you to see verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In the day we live in, I have to clarify the word gospel. It's the good news, yes, but it's the good news of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now look at verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is, and boy, you need to underline that. Nobody talks about that anymore. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. In other words, we can see it. It's shown clearly. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You didn't get up and look at the sky this morning and say there is no God. You never walked beside the ocean and said there is no God. You've never looked at the majesty of the Blue Ridge Mountains and said there is no God. Amen? And so it's easily seen, okay? So in verse 20 it says the invisible things. That's things we don't even see. We know God's in it. Amen? Now, look at verse 21. Verse 20. So that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Instead of giving God the glory, they made other things and put that glory on those things. Without excuse, he says. Without excuse. And I want you to notice that one point, their foolish heart was dark. Their foolish heart was dark. Now, I don't know everything, but I know this. We're living in foolish times. Amen? Foolish times. That's probably this battery going dead. We're living in foolish times. And it is. And without God, listen, you will live foolishly. Without God, you're going to live foolishly, because if you don't understand the things of God, how can you give God the glory for something you don't even understand? So I want to preach to you just for a few minutes today that word foolishly. And what he's saying is, in the eyes of God, these people are fools. Let's pray. Father, help me today. The old devil doesn't like what we're about to say. The world does not understand what we're going to say. But we, as the people of God, we understand that there's a time that we have to realize there's some things that are right, there's some things that are wrong, and it's foolish to go against God. And Lord, we've got a whole world going against God today, even this day. So help us, Lord, enlighten us, encourage us, convict us, if we need it, convert us, and bless us. And let us leave out of here today, as the psalmist said, it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. And if one's lost, save them before it's too late.
Don't let them foolishly put off another day.
Yes, Lord.
And those that are saved and living foolishly, I pray you'd put them back on the right path.
Yes, Lord.
And help us to live wisely in this present evil world.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name. God does not use the word fool very lightly. Matter of fact, God tells us not to call a man a fool, because that word fool means godless wretch. And he says, if we call people fools, we're in danger of judgment. Not hell, but God judging us, because while we're saying one person is foolish, we may be being foolish in another area ourselves. And that's why he says, judge not that you be not judged. He didn't say that you would never do righteous judgment. He just said, be careful how you judge. Because if you judge wrongly, then you are going to be judged according to the way that you judge. All right? And that doesn't work. But, and the devil don't like it. But listen, the world's full of foolish people. Would you agree with me? It's full of foolish people. Our world is full of people doing foolish things, behaving foolishly, talking foolishly, living foolishly, and therefore dying foolishly. They're raising their children foolishly, to have another generation to continue down that same road of foolishness, and to end to perdition itself. And they're living that way, and they're raising their children that way, and in the end they're going to be judged not by us, but by a holy God. And so we're to cry aloud and spare not and show our people their sins. But God doesn't take it lightly. And what he does, he gives us some examples of foolish people in the Bible. You see, our problem is not that we don't know what a fool is. Our problem is we don't read the Bible that shows us what a fool is. Now, I probably call people fool. That guy that cut you off in traffic, we got on I-85 Friday afternoon. Lord, forgive me. I probably called some of those people fools. I'm telling you, they drive like maniacs. I hate I-85 through Greenville and Spartanburg. But there's five times in the Bible that Jesus chooses to address people as fools. Now, Romans chapter 1 is very clear. People that turn away from the knowledge of God and the things of God, naturally they're fools. They're foolish people. They're going to go their own way, and they're always going to end up wrong. It's never going to end up right. But there are examples in the Bible, five examples of foolish people living foolishly, and I just want to give these to you. And if they fit, wear the shoe. If they don't, pass it on to somebody else. But you'll recognize some of these people. Everybody's always met some of these people. In Matthew chapter 7, he says this in verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now that's a careless person. That's a careless fool. You build your house, that's your life. You build your life on things that shift and change like sand. You're foolish. You're foolish. You can't build your life on society as we live in it. You can't live your life on the latest fads and the latest thoughts. You know, those things change. Every day they're going to change. People change every day. If you live carelessly and have no thought for the foundation that Jesus Christ put down, that you could have a solid life and you could end well, then you're a foolish person to avoid that or ignore that or just reject that. That is a foolish person. I used to be one.
Amen.
And such were some of you, he said. My mama used to say this, the Lord looks out for the ignorant and the foolish, and I've been both. Amen?
Yes.
And I'm sure you haven't. You're a lot smarter than I am, but I've been there, amen. I've lived foolishly before I was saved. I lived very foolishly, but I lived ignorantly. I didn't know anything about Jesus Christ. Nobody had ever taught me about Jesus Christ. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't live around Christians. I never met but one real Christian, I mean sold out, before I got saved. I really believe that. Now, so if you live the way this world lives, and this, by the way, next week, I just put it like this. This little boy came to church one day, and he had an earring. Had a little earring. I said, "Son, why do you have that earring?" He said, "It's the fad." I said, "It is." I said, "Do you keep up with the fads?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, what about next week if the fad is one lip with lipstick on it? You going to do that?" "Oh, no, preacher, I would never do that." I said, "And then the next week it's one leg with hose in it. You going to wear one leg with hose in it?" "No, preacher, that's crazy." I said, "Ain't no crazier than you putting that girl's earring in your ear." I said, "You know those people make twice the money off you foolish people? You men that go buy one earring. They sell a pair twice. One man buys one, another man buys the other one." I said, "If you try to keep up with all the fads, boy, you're going to go start raving mad. You can't do that. That's foolish to do that." I had two black boys, big black boys. I used to ride my church bus. They were big brawny boys, and they were big football players at Northwestern. And they called me Daddy. They called me Daddy. If I called their name, some of you might even know them. They got to play football real good. But I went out to watch them practice one day over at Northwestern. And when I got out there, this other boy came up to me and said, and he called their names. He said, "Preacher, I want you to look at those Band-Aids on their ear." I said, "Why they got Band-Aids on there?" He said, "They got earrings and they don't want you to know it." Both of them had Band-Aids right there. I said, "Man, what happened to your ear?" "Oh, it got a hole in it." I said, "How'd it get a hole in it?" I said, "Take that stinking earring out, boy." I was in Chicago, and Mr. Charlie Burgess owned Burgess Trucking, took me when I was a young preacher to pastor school in Hammond, Indiana, First Baptist. It was my dream to go. Dr. Jack Kyle's teaching and preaching. And he took me to a place I'd never been. We pulled up in this parking lot. He said, "Son, they serve burgers here. How many are you going to eat?" I said, "Well, I'll eat a cheeseburger." He said, "No, you got to eat more than that." I said, because he's paying. I said, "Well, I'll eat two." He said, "No, I'm going to eat at least six myself." I said, "You're going to eat six?" It was a little place called Crystal's. I'd never seen anything. So I got two like starved to death the rest of the day. But as we was going through the line, you know, we got up there to the line. He got up there. This man's a multi-millionaire. But he still talks like an old trucker. You know, he's gruff, but he's handsome and dressed well. And he walks up there, and this teenage boy was checking him out. And he looked up there and said, "Boy, what is that in your ear?" He said, "That's an earring." He said, "Why would you wear an earring?" He said, "The girls like it." And Charlie looked at him, didn't even think twice. He said, "I bet some of the boys do too." He said, "Oh, no, 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 no." Now, if you try to keep up with the world and the fashions and the fads of this world, you're a foolish person. You will never please this world. They'll never, they don't care what you do. They're never going to be happy with you because they're not happy with themselves. Foolish is the way people live, and they live like God is never going to judge them. That's foolish. Yes. And then you say something, they say, "Well, you can't judge me." I say, "Well, there's one bigger than me judging." Amen. I used to work public jobs. I'd get around people, especially construction, you know, and they'd run off with a bunch of cuss words, and they'd look at me, "Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot you was here." I said, "Don't worry about me. I'm not the one you're going to give account to. You better worry about that angel writing everything down." Amen. Foolish to, hey, it's foolish. And there's a lot of people doing it. They're living like God doesn't exist. They've turned him into a bug or a beast or something and made a little statue of him, put him up on their little shelf there, you know, and so they can put him up and take him down anytime they want to. And they're living foolishly like there is no God in heaven and God will never judge them. But that's a fool to think such. Well, you're an eternal being. You're an eternal being. If you think you don't have a soul, an eternal soul living in you, you think you're like a dog or a little old bird or something, you're crippled too high for crutches. You're foolish. You need some help, man. Amen? Even lost people get up and look at the ocean and say, man, that didn't just pop out from outer space there. Amen? Number two, in Matthew chapter 23, if you'll turn there, Matthew chapter 23, verse 25. Now, I'm not telling you that you're a fool. You have to judge that for yourself by the Scriptures. But I did one day. I realized I was a fool. I needed God. Matthew 23, verse 25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye make the outside of the cup and of the platter. You make the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they're full of extortion and excess. In other words, he's saying on everything that's appearance, you make it clean, you make it pretty, but on the inside, you're a hypocrite, you're still dirty, you're lying to everybody, you are not what you're supposed to be. You might be clean on the outside, but on the inside, you're full of dead men's bones. Amen. Now, That's a hypocritical fool. To think that we can live as if we're going to heaven, but on the inside the whole time we know we're not going to heaven, and we're just doing it to try to impress somebody else, that's a fool. You see, we talked about in Sunday school, no man lives or dies unto himself, and you're trying to impress people that, oh, just let me put it this way. It doesn't matter what people think of you, what's God think of you? Amen. Now, I want people to think well of me, but I'm more concerned about what God thinks of me. So it's the inside. It's the heart that believeth unto righteousness. And then that affects the outside. Yes, it'll clean you up. It'll change you. You'll hear some of these testimonies in here of people that God cleaned them up and changed them. But it started, you must be born again. Not baptized again, not join the church again, not put on the religious garb, not wear a choir robe, but you must be born again on the inside, and then that'll spread to the outside. But if you start with the outside and you've not fixed the inside, you're still dirty and nasty, and all your righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. You ever picked up a glass and went to get something to drink and, oh, man, what's that in the bottom of that thing? It was a pretty glass, but when you picked it up and looked at it, you saw it was filthy. And that's the way some people are. They look real good on the outside, but on the inside, they're real dirty. Amen? It's the abundance of the heart. I know what comes out the mouth, but a lot of people hide what's in their heart real well. Now, that's a fool. Now, you can fool me. You can fool your mama, you can fool your daddy, your grandma, your grandpa, your brother, your sister, or your wife, your husband, but you can't fool God. I go places, I'll knock on the door, and a man will come to the door, and I'll introduce myself as the pastor, you know, and he'll say something like, well, wait right here, my wife takes care of all that. You're foolish. You better take care of that yourself. Amen. Amen, amen. And then in Matthew 25, 1 through 8, I'm reading a lot of scripture today, and that'll help you. Matthew 25, look at verse 1 through 8, if you will. if I can find it. Now, he says this, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And five of them were wise, and five were, help me class, what's that word? Foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Now, a lamp ain't real good without oil. Amen. But the wise took oil in their lamps. in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. That's the ones with and without the oil. They all went to sleep. And at midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. In other words, they got ready to light them. They turned the wick up and go to light them. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." Now, that's a sleeping fool. Now, all 10 of them knew he was coming. And that's just like Jesus coming. We all know he's coming. But 5 got ready. The other 5 halfway got ready. They got their lamps. They looked good. They were with the other 5. If you'd have seen them, you'd have thought, well, they're all the same group. But when the bridegroom, when the voice came and said, "The bridegroom cometh, get up, trim your lamps," they all 10 got up, and 5 forgot they were not ready, and their lamp did not burn. So they looked at the ones that had the oil, and they said, "Give us some of your oil." And they said, "We can't do that." Now look, especially parents and grandparents, I want you to look at me and I want you to listen. Young people, listen to me. You can't give your children your oil.
That's right, come on.
You can't give your grandchildren your oil. That's a symbol of the Holy Spirit living in you. They have to be saved themselves.
Amen.
I know they're wonderful and they're sweet, and I know these little girls are pretty and all that stuff. I got 3 pretty little girls myself. Well, they ain't so little anymore, but they're getting up my age, but they're beautiful, and I know that. But I also know this: they're going to stand before a holy God themselves. Daddy's not going to be there. I can't give them what I've got. They've got to get Jesus themselves. And it's foolish to think that you can go to heaven on somebody else's coattails. God does not have any grandchildren. All of his are born again children of God. You've got to be born into the family of God. And I've had many people tell me, my children, my grandchildren are going to heaven because I got saved. No, they're not. Now, you can be a great influence on them, but they will not go to heaven just because you're saved. They have to get the oil too and be saved. Now, you can get them ready. You can take them to Sunday school. You can take them to the preaching hour. You can read the Bible to them. You can teach them right from wrong. But until they receive Jesus Christ themselves in their own lamp,
that's right,
they will not be ready when he comes.
That's right.
That's foolish lips. Some of you are like that. You've been in church all your life. You've got a good family. You've got good parents, good grandparents. You've been raised right. But you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.
Come on now.
Yes, he's the Savior of the world. Yes, he is. But you're going to have to receive him. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God." Now, you've got to receive Christ. You've got to take that oil in yourself. I can't share it with you. Now, I can tell you about it, but I can't give it to you. Amen? And it's foolish to... the bridegroom's coming. The trumpet's about to sound. Any day now he can come. And if he doesn't, you've still got to die and meet God.
Come on now. Yeah.
And it's foolish. It's foolish just to sleep through this. You've got to have a sense of urgency. I remember when I was about 21 years old, God, the Holy Ghost, began to convict my heart of my sins and showed me I was a sinner, and person after person witnessed to me. And I went to church those few times. It sounded like that old preacher was preaching right at me, and I couldn't sleep, and I couldn't do anything without thinking about it. I was going to die and go to hell. And March the 5th, 1978, I walked that aisle. I was in the 6th pew on the left-hand side, and at the invitation, I walked down that aisle, and I took that preacher by the hand. He gave me to him. Another man, that man took me in the room, read me a few scriptures, said, "You believe that?" I said, "The best I know how." He said, "Would you pray and ask him to save you?" I said, "I don't know how." He said, "If I tell you what to pray, will you pray it?" If he'd have told me I had to pray the Constitution, I'd have done it. Amen. If he'd told me I'd stand on my head and whistle Dixie backwards, I'd have tried it. Hey, I wanted to receive Christ into my heart. And it's foolish to ignore that when God pulls you that way. You young people, a lot of you in Sunday school, you need to get saved.
Hey, that's right.
You need to get born again. Sunday school's not going to save you. I'm glad you're in there, and I'm glad you're learning the Bible, and it's going to help you. But until you receive Christ, you're not going to heaven. And it's foolish to think any other way. Amen. And then Luke chapter 12, real quick. Y'all not listening fast enough. Come on, Luke chapter 12. Look at verse 16. These examples are in the Bible. All you got to do is read it. Amen. Jesus is talking about in Luke chapter 12, verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man, underline that rich man, brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall all those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now that's the rich, the materialistic. I'm not going to say rich. Rich is relevant, depending on who you are. If you came from where I come from, if you got a car, you're rich, you know. But it doesn't mean rich. Materialistic. There's a lot of rich people who love Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. You don't have to be poor to love Jesus. You don't have to be rich. A lot of rich people. He's not talking about that. He's talking about somebody that loves things of this world more than he's thinking about his eternal destination. Now he says that's foolish to do that. Go ahead. Lay up all that stuff you got. You know why they're building all these temporary buildings, you know, to put stuff in? All these people building up stuff and building up stuff and building. They take no thought of their eternal destination. They're so busy buying and building up. And then one day you'll read in the paper there's an auction. And it's his storage building. He didn't take it to the cemetery with him. He died and left every bit of it for people to fight over. You might as well spend it now. Your children know how to spend it very well. Amen. Amen. Might as well go on and spend it. Die broke. They won't have nothing to fight over. I've seen them jump in the casket trying to take rings off it at the graveside. Come on. Materialistic fools. You know, you can be happy and be rich, or you can be happy and be poor. That stuff does not make you happy. And this man thought, the more I get, the more I build up, the happier I'm going to be. I can retire. Take it easy. Eat, drink, be merry. And the Lord looked at him and said, you're not going to do any of that. You're going to die tonight. Don't put your love and your life in things of this world. Now, there's nothing wrong with having things of the world as long as you don't put your love and your life into them. Stuff is good to have. I remember when I didn't have any stuff. I had to borrow somebody else's stuff. Now they borrow my stuff and don't bring it back. Nothing wrong with having stuff. Nothing wrong with having money. Money's a good thing. You can give to God. Boy, these folks from First Baptist, they had all that money, and what did they do? They turned around and gave $75,000 back down here. There ain't nothing wrong with that money. You just use it right. Amen? Don't think that's going to make you happy. I know some very rich people. You listening, young people? I know girls, listen to me. I know some very rich young... Hey, I know some very rich people who are some of the most miserable people you ever meet in your life. And they're scared to death to die. Scared. They wash their hands till they're red. They're afraid they're going to get some kind of disease and die. Amen? And it's foolish if you put your eternal destiny and your eternal happiness on material things of this world. Every bit of it's going to rust and fall apart, and in the end it's going to melt with a fervent heat when God renews you. Some of you old people, we went back to the old home place. It's done fell in. Amen? We've been back where we used to haunt. Amen.
Yeah.
It's gone. It ain't there no more. It's fallen in. It's grown over or something. And materialistic things fall apart and fall away. But eternal things are going to last forever.
Amen.
Be born again. Get eternal life.
Come on, man.
Amen. You'll be rich through eternity. Amen. Luke 24. One more. Luke 24. Look at it with me. I'm going fast on purpose. Luke 24. Luke 24. Look at verse 25. I said there's a careless fool, there's a hypocritical fool, there's a sleeping fool, and there's a materialistic fool. I want to show you one more. Verse 25. Chapter 24. Then he said unto them, O fools. Now if God calls you a fool, you're in trouble. O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now, at that time, they didn't have a New Testament. They said, oh, he said, all that the Bible says. The prophets, that's who wrote it. All that the Bible says. Oh, you fool, and you're slow of heart. You're not going to do it in your heart. And verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things? And to enter into his glory. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, Jesus, he said, you are a fool, you're a foolish person, if you don't believe the scriptures. Now, I don't care what you think about the Bible. And I used to be lost. I said it was full of fairy tales. And Isaiah sounded like he was tripping on acid when he wrote about the spinning wheels and the creatures and all that stuff. You know, I used to, potheads to discuss that. They do. I was knocking on doors one day, just going door to door and trying to invite people to church and win them to Christ. And I walked up on these four boys and they were, can I use the word, stoned? They weren't on the stone. They wasn't on the rock. There was something else. And they had that very strong smell, you know, burning something. And so I and walk up and I invite them to church. Hey, man. Hey, priest. Good to see you, man. We've been reading the Bible. I said, you've been reading the Bible? Yeah, man. Yeah, we read the Bible. We've been reading the Bible and we like it. I said, if you like it, you must have been saved. Oh, no, I don't even know what that means. I just know we like the Bible. We've been reading it, and we read about those spinning wheels and those creatures coming out, you know. And old Isaiah, he was tripping, man. He was tripping. Said, we don't know what all that means, but we like that book of Revelation, you know. And I said, look, you don't even understand what you're reading. I said, you're going to have to be born again, for the natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit, for they're spiritually discerned. And Ephesians said, you're dead in trespasses and sin, so a dead man can't understand anything. You need to be born again. And let me tell you how to be born again. I told him how to be saved. Admit you're a sinner. We all are. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, put your eternal destiny on that. He'll save you, give you a new heart, new mind, new spirit. You won't need to smoke that loco weed. And one of them said, now wait a minute, preacher. It's in the Bible. I said, what's in the Bible? He said, pot. I said, pot's not in the Bible, boy. I said, I've read the Bible many times. That's not in the Bible. He said, well, don't say pot. He said, over in Genesis somewhere, it says that God made for Adam and Eve all the herb of the field. And I wasn't real nice to him. I said, boy, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. I said, herb is what you eat. It ain't what you smoke. He thought since that was his definition of that word, it was the Bible's definition. Instead of reading the Bible, he applied his thought to the Bible, interpreted it by his thought, and it was wrong. And let me tell you something, that kind of thinking will take you straight to hell. You're not wise, you are very foolish if you don't believe the Scriptures. Well, I just don't believe all that stuff because how could a whale swallow a man and he live? Nobody said you had to understand it. The natural man, 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man understandeth not things of spirit. But let me ask you something. How could it be a problem for God to make a great fish to swallow a man, let him live in his belly for 3 months and float around in that stomach acid and suffer and whip him for not doing what he wanted him to do, and then spit him out on land? He'd go do what he was supposed to do because he had enough. And how can that be so hard to believe? And yet, he created the stars and the moon and the sun and Jupiter and Mars and everything else. And you're having a problem with a fish? You know, it's kind of like a blind man trying to describe the sunrise. He ain't ever seen the sunrise. He's heard about it. And a person without Christ trying to describe what the Scriptures mean is impossible. The Bible says without Christ we're blind. So there's an unbelieving fool. I used to be one. I made fun of Christians. I mocked Christianity. Yeah? And so did some of you.
Yes.
And I was a fool.
Yes.
And I looked back on it and said, thank God you have mercy on the foolish sometimes.
Yes.
And I defied God in many ways. I defied God. I never did walk out there and say, if there's a God, strike me with lightning. But I lived like that. I defied him in my speech and my thought and my acts and my deeds and sometimes with my words, and he let me live. Boy, let me live long enough to hear the gospel. He let me live long enough to hear, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. He let me live long enough to hear God pities the sinner. He let me live to hear long enough God has pity on us, knowing that we're made of the dirt.
Amen.
And I defied him. And I had friends that didn't make it. They're not here today. They defied God. And unless something happened I don't know about, they died a fool. And if they died a fool, they did not go to heaven. Joseph said of his son Abner, I preached on this the other night. Abner had the opportunity, he killed a man, and he had the opportunity to be saved by going into this city and staying there. But he didn't stay. And when the man chasing him came to the gate, who couldn't do nothing to him inside the city, he called Abner out. He said, I just want to talk to you. And he stepped outside the city, and the man killed him. But that wasn't unusual. He lived his whole life that way. And when he died, after they buried him, his father David said this, said, listen, I mean, Joseph said, David said this, Abner dies as a fool dies. Now, I preach a lot of funerals. And I don't always say everything I know at a funeral. It wouldn't help people if I did. But there's a lot of people that die as a fool.
Yes.
And I don't say that. Those families are hurting bad enough. They don't need somebody to preach to them like that. I want to comfort the people that are left and encourage the ones that are left. I can't help the fool that's died. So don't get mad at me. And don't get mad at other people that love you and try to get you not to live foolishly. We pray every day. My wife and I will pray, and I say, Lord, please be good to our children. Please take care of our children. As far as I know, I do know they're saved. They serve God. And I say, Lord, put a hedge around them. Lord, we've invested our lives in our children. We sacrificed, we gave, we denied ourselves. But Jeffrey, you know what I'm talking about? For our children. Now God, take care of them. They're grown, now they're in your hands. But I can stand here today and tell you by their testimony, they will not die as a fool. If Jesus doesn't come pretty soon and they do die, they'll die as a wise woman. Because one day they recognized that to live in sin is foolish. But to live in Christ is gain. Please don't die as a fool. Young people, listen to me. Take it from one that did it. Don't live foolishly. You may not make it. You may not make it. Older people, don't live foolishly. Don't store up the things of this world and do nothing for God. Don't spend all your time worrying about stuff. Put some of your time in the life of Christ and worry about others.
Amen. Yes.
And help others. Don't live foolishly. Don't deny the Word of God.
Amen.
This thing was here before you got here, and it'll be here after you're gone.
That's right.
Yes, many have lived and died by this book very successfully. What are you living by? Let's stand.